Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning. It's a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group. I'm your host, Mimi Lawson. I have three friends is really how they've described themselves to me. Danielle McClendon, Leah Roberts, and Blythe Sobel. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you guys came.
Thanks for having us.
So this group of friends just got together, and what was the whole idea, the mission behind it? Whose idea was it?
Well, it was my idea. Back in July, when there was all sorts of tragedies happening on the news, and the Dallas shootings and Alton Sterling and other things were happening, I know a lot of us were at home feeling really depressed about what can be done and what was happening. And in my sort of anxious to feel like I should do something, and having my Black friend Danielle posting and showing and talking about how she was feeling such despair, decided to open up my home and invite people to come to talk about what we could do to do more to foster oneness.
Kind of like almost a cottage prayer meeting that we used to do at the old Baptist church. Up in Dade City, we would on Wednesday night get together and just kind of talk about how we could make our community better.
Right. Good point. Yeah. The spirit was really infectious, and we had lots of people show up. It was unexpected. It was a little less than 24 hours notice. We had 85 people come.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, and I would say only maybe 50% of them were people I had met before. So
great.
Friends brought friends. So it was really powerful.
What community do you guys live in?
We live in the Carrollwood area.
In Carrollwood, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And all of you guys live in that area.
Well, our children are in school together in the Carrollwood area.
I see. And that's how you guys knew each other?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Let me ask you, this is always a difficult question, and I don't know the right way to ask it, but do you feel out of place? Do you feel a sense of being scared in your own community because you're a minority in that community?
I'm not sure if fear is the right way to describe it, but there is certainly this longing to be fully accepted and not just tolerated.
I love that.
It's always there. There's also a desire for there to be more outrage from everyone, not just the African American or Black community, when tragedies happen like this, like Leah described, to Blacks. It's in my opinion, and my hope is that it will be seen less as a race issue and as a human rights issue.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's a perfect way of looking at it.
Yeah, and I just think that there's certainly a lot of work that needs to be done to get people to think in that way, because it seems to be an automatic response for whites to feel or react in a certain way, and then Blacks, minorities respond in a certain way when, if people are hurting, if there are people in a community that are in pain and wanting change and wanting justice to be served, it should be recognized by everyone.
And I feel that way a lot about women's issues as well. With all the stuff that's happened with Trump lately, I feel like a friend of mine who's a political consultant said, if the same things had been said about any other minority, Blacks or Jews or whatever, there had been this huge outrage. And that at the beginning, when those comments were first released after Billy Bush, there wasn't immediate backlash. It wasn't until like a week later that all of a sudden you started hearing that it is not a women's issue or a Black issue. It is a human rights issue. We should all be treated the same.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So when you decided to come to this meeting, what were your expectations?
I felt no expectation other than I just wanted to go and support my friends and just let them know that I'm not a bystander to any of this.
You know, I think that's so important, that even if you didn't have what you thought was something to contribute, that you wanted to show your support and that you are just as scared and unknowing as the rest of the people. And what do we do about this?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you got there and you guys started the conversation, how did that go? Did it start off great?
It did. It was a little challenging. I think that there were, at the time, at the first meeting, we've had two or three, I guess, actually since July, but at the very first one, that the emotions were high, and some of the group that we had show up was extremely diverse, and there were some African Americans that you could see everyone there was in pain,
right?
But particularly the African Americans that were there, that and especially the gentlemen who were there, sort of expressed that they weren't sure they wanted to be there and sort of say more prayers and sing songs kind of thing.
Right.
Although that wasn't really the intention of why we were there or my intention for hosting it. Yet it was very good to hear that from them.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation sort of went from there. And it was, we since called it that we've declared an egg-free zone to talk about things. And really, I think that sort of dumbs down. It's a little irreverent way to say what we really mean, which is we were all there to really want progress and growth and to understand each other. And we wanted to be sure that as we spoke or ask questions or we're striving to understand one another, that there'd be room for me to be able to ask my questions in a way that was candid and might be ignorant and even offensive. But if I wasn't expressing hate, then my intention was to understand. And if everyone could sort of in the room forgive me for that, then we could actually have progress.
I think that's wonderful, because that's what I was feeling asking you that question. I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to be offensive. But sometimes I just don't know how to ask a question.
Yes.
And I think that's great that you made that safety net there.
Right. We don't want to be misunderstood as being offensive because we want it to understand. So I think that's probably been one of the significant things that have come from these gatherings, is that it was a place to sort of better understand, you know, how to understand the questions that we have, or I think for both sides, if you want to call it that. I mean, I think we all come together and realize we're all just human, and we're parents and we're friends and we're community members. So we're one. And yet and in this particular conversation, you know, let's say the sort of the white and the black side of it, as we are sort of looking at it from that lens or that point of view, I think both sides felt love and understanding and patience and forgiveness.
Awesome.
And that, I think, went a long way toward sort of soothing so much misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the things I had said was that I was seeking to not only raise children that were not racist, but also anti-racist. And
wow.
I think that meant a lot to the African-American or other minorities that were there to hear that. I think that there are a lot of white people that really are looking to not be racist and trying to understand what that looks like or how to do that. I think that there's a generation of white people that think that racism is taught, and therefore if we don't teach our children racism, then everything is fine. And I think we're seeing that it's not sufficient, that we actually have to be a little more
proactive. Yeah.
That, right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you walked away from, anybody please respond to this, when you walked away from the first meeting, you had some expectations, or as you say, maybe not some expectations, you walk away, what did you feel? Did you feel like this is going to work and this is something that we want to share? Or did you just think, oh my gosh, finally, you know, somebody has a conversation? I mean, did you think that you had specific actions in mind after that?
I can only speak for myself. I didn't have intentions of continuing what we did in a larger way or in any way at all. But I think what was most important for me was feeling, walking away from that discussion and from that gathering, feeling a sense of hope, you know, because, you know, starting, you know, as Leah described, what led up to that initial gathering was a very trying week with, mm-hmm. you know, two black men who were killed, and then the police officers who were also killed. And there was a lot of emotion. There was a lot of despair. There was a lot of just feeling of angst and not knowing how to process it or what would happen next. But walking out of that discussion, just coming together with people we knew, people we did not know, being able to express your thoughts, your hurts, your pains openly and mm-hmm. honestly, and having those feelings, you know, number one, not be dismissed, and not be rejected or not be minimized, was an incredibly
awesome.
Powerful
I'll
and
bet.
Meaningful. So for me, it opened up my eyes to the fact that there are people in this world who actually care, who want better for all of us, who are committed to helping to fight the injustices and to helping to foster, as Leah has said, just this sense of oneness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all in this. Hopefully we can see that we're in it together.
Right.
and we can move forward together.
When you talk about not only raising kids that are not prejudiced but are anti-prejudice, what's that next step? Is that the next step basically the same thing we talk about when we talk about bullying, not just don't bully, but step in when you see someone else being bullied?
Yes, I think so. There's some different research that we've found in sort of the process of trying to understand this, because the second gathering that we had, because we felt like we should have some sort of follow-up, and yet we weren't sure what that should look like. So we gave it some time and thought and consultation and ended up coming up with this idea of how to talk to our children about race.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we found, there's a book called Nurture Shock, and it's featured in this, or one of the aspects that this book looks at is this topic that you're mentioning, and that they found that children even as young as three start to develop bias based on what they see happening in society, and that as children get older, if their parents don't talk about it, they, because parents think that they shouldn't mention it, because if they even celebrate, for instance, oh, we have a black president, for the first time, isn't that so exciting, by mentioning something as simple as that, or happy as that, even, right, that they are sort of bringing attention to this racial construct or division.
Right. So I should even mentioning that.
Perhaps it's something we should very openly acknowledge and celebrate, mm-hmm, right? So whatever your perspective is, that is a truth, right?
Right.
So in sort of looking at it that way, what they found is that there were a lot of well-intended families that weren't mentioning these things. They weren't pointing out some of the injustices, even the small. And I would say, I was thinking when you asked the question earlier that Danielle was able to answer so nicely, that one of the things that I got from these gatherings that has been so significant is sort of really the light got so much brighter for me about all sorts of microaggressions.
Yeah.
I keep using that term and it's probably too clinical. I mean to say all sorts of things that people of color, that minorities go through each day, that are slights, biases, mm-hmm, that are inferiorities.
Well, you've experienced that in a lesser way just as being a woman. So you have an empathy already to understand what that might be like, mm-hmm, although we can never say to somebody else, if you aren't in that same situation, I understand where you're coming from.
You're right. It's easier for me to have empathy.
Right.
And yet without being aware, I became more aware,
right,
hearing and being able to have that conversation, mm-hmm, and make friends with, or even with some were existing friends, but I've made new friends through,
right,
this process. And this idea of having a dialogue with people that are different than me, mm-hmm, and being able to have understand better from them what are some of the little things that happen to them on a daily basis that I go, no, oh,
right,
my gosh, really, wow, I didn't know. And so yes, I'm in a position to have empathy because I know now.
Right.
And what's built into our society, that you're talking about the microaggressions, but an institutional,
yes,
prejudice,
yeah,
racism,
right,
that we're not always aware of.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I think that if you aren't, like I said, of that particular, you know, if you're not a woman, if you're not black, if you're not, whatever your perceived issue is, if you have not had that experience, it's very difficult to see those nuances. I mean, you can look in your everyday,
yeah,
life.
If you're
and
not
say,
affected, then
right,
why
and that's
would
why
you?
Having a conversation,
right,
is,
well,
where it begins. Having, yeah, a safe place to have a conversation.
Yeah, men do not understand that women traditionally have made less money for the same job. I mean, they have very little empathy for that. Of, you know, that the fact that then we go home and take care of our kids and we do the shopping and all that. Put a man in that position, and in a day, they're ready to throw their hands up.
But when you can find a man that is open to the conversation and listening,
right,
and then is able to stand up and kind of point out those biases, it's so much more powerful than,
right,
a woman complaining about it.
Exactly.
And that, I think, is what is an important aspect of what I've gotten from what, mm-hmm, we've gone through, is to sort of allow the conversation, and as far as our children and raising them, to raise them to understand that these biases do occur, and there is a historical context,
mm-hmm,
there's these institutional problems that are not going to be solved by staying at home and watching TV and feeling sad for what's on the news.
Right.
That we actually have to participate in our communities in a way that's meaningful, and we have to interact with other people so that we have a reason to be empathetic.
Right.
Because sometimes watching some of the news, it can feel like a caricature, and it's easy, I think, to turn it off and to be removed
right.
from these sort of extreme aggressions that are mm-hmm. happening. It's too easy to think, wow, that's so unfortunate. That's happening way over there somehow.
Exactly.
It's not happening here, so we're okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think we have to find a way to dig into the mindsets of people so that we can progress through the and get past these challenges.
So Blythe, when you left there and you went home and talked to your kids about what happened, did they go with you or would you just go by yourself?
Not to the first one, mm-hmm. no. But I did talk to them.
And what was their reaction to that? I mean, were they open to having this conversation, interested in what was going on and
absolutely.
Understanding there was a problem?
Absolutely.
Cool.
I think kids are so pure and want to do the right thing.
You're right.
And we have to give them the tools to go out into the world mm-hmm. and do the right thing.
After you left, did you in your mind formulate, okay, these are the things I think now that I can go forth and do, and maybe what were some of those things?
After the first meeting, I felt like there was a permission given just to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and
I
that's
think
powerful.
Was, yes.
No, I agree. I agree 100% because I think that race in general is you know, as far as topics of discussion is lumped together with politics and religion. They're just
right.
things that we've just been conditioned
mm-hmm.
to not talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you know, we are where we are. And being in, you know, in a place where the dialogue was encouraged, I think was refreshing for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say there were other men that were in this audience that felt like they shouldn't be there. Did they feel differently when they left?
I can speak for my husband,
right.
who I know did not want to participate just mm-hmm. because he's experienced prejudice on levels that even I can't relate to, just not being a Black man. And for him and for the other Black men who were there, it felt very, especially after that week, it was a tough thing for me to ask them to do, honestly,
mm-hmm.
to come in there and into a room of strangers, essentially,
right.
and to open themselves up to the vulnerability
right.
that was necessary for the discussion to take place and to be productive. And I know for a fact he did not want to come. I had to drag him there. I just told him, you know, what I said to him was that, you know, your story can only be told by you.
Right.
You have to be the person to speak for your experiences. I can't share that. It's not going to be as impactful. And afterwards, he's since said that he was so glad that he went.
Good.
And even for him, but I think he's expressed that his own guard has been taken down and that he's been receptive and more open to people asking him questions.
Awesome.
Whereas, you know, before he may have been on the defense
mm-hmm.
and now, you know, having this experience, he knows that there are people out there that want to see our world, not even just our world, I'll just say the city of Tampa. We just want to see our local community as a start be better,
mm-hmm.
to be more unified and to be more positive. So it has been quite transformative for him.
The thing that keeps coming to my mind is, you know, people always think that whether it's their vote or other things that they can't affect change in their community or their country. And three women who had a great idea, put it into action, and look at what it's spread in the beauty that has come from that. So you're a testimony to the fact that you can change the world. A handful of people can change the world. And even if that world is only the world that's right around you.
It's quite a compliment, but
Thank you.
Think you're right. That I think that's one of the things that has been an unexpected result from this is how many people, you know, even our simple little Facebook posts of, oh, this is what we did last night and I had a great time kind of intention for our post, and to see the people that have been touched or moved or educated or inspired or what have you by it. And then the people who've asked us to do it again because it's so mm-hmm. they'd really like to participate in something like this and learn and the people that have that the complete strangers that have reached out to me because of the media attention it's gotten, it's been really exciting. And you know, what we did was something anyone can do. I
right.
mean, we just decided to be loving and open and think about oneness and how to foster it. Right. So we got together and that's what we talked about. And anyone can do that. It just takes purity of motive, I mm-hmm. guess. And the results have been really powerful for our families. Our friendships have mm-hmm. grown, we've bonded, and our children and yeah, you're right, that it's been a ripple effect.
Well, and I know the people that are listening this morning are going to be thinking to themselves that they would like to do something similar in their community. Are you open to having them get in touch with you guys and kind of give them a framework of how you started this and
Absolutely.
Maybe some of the things you talked
yeah.
about? How Absolutely. Would they get in touch with you?
Well,
you said you have a Facebook page.
I have a personal Facebook page. My name is Leah Roberts, and that's spelled L-E-A-H. And Roberts is traditional R-O-B-E-R-T-S. Mm-hmm. And I suppose we should consider making some sort of Facebook page so we can look into that and get mm-hmm. back to you, perhaps.
Sure.
But, you know, it's funny. I should admit that it would be a little glorified to make one, because it really is as simple as we described, that mm-hmm. it's in, you know, inviting people to get together to talk about mm-hmm. wanting to have loving, hate-free conversation about how we could be better to one another.
Right.
And as you said, although the most challenging issue, I think, right now is the race issue, especially the black and white issue, but it touches so many other parts mm-hmm. of society, so none of those things need be excluded.
Right.
And that's really all it takes. I mean, we had cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say too, we had the discussions at Leah's home where 80 people came. I had a discussion with the lady who does my lashes. Mm-hmm. Just laying on the table, you know, she saw the news piece and asked me about it. And this is someone who I don't know well. We've never had this conversation. And for that hour, we talked about it.
Right.
And it was just an opportunity to just enlighten. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a strong word, but just open her thoughts
right.
to
just talk
what
about
else
it.
Is out there.
Well,
you
and
know.
The reason I ask you that is not to necessarily say that you need to glorify yourself. In fact, I kind of think it's cool that you feel that you shouldn't. I mean, even though I think that what you're doing is so awesome, I think that idea yeah. of being so down to earth and centered about this is part of the charm of this. Mm. And I think it's part of the reason that you guys are so successful with this. But I know that there are people out there who are going to want to talk to you guys about that. And that if they're, you know, that was the best way to reach you, then
we'll create a way to
yeah.
allow people to get in touch
well,
with us. Because we certainly want to help facilitate mm-hmm. making this work for other communities or people or
right.
what have you.
Well, and I will offer as well, you will give me information, a way to get in touch with you. If people often call after the show is over wanting to get some information about stuff we've talked about, then they can email me at mimi.lawson@coxinc.com. That's MIMI.LAWSON. At coxinc.com, and I will get them in touch with you.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So where do you go from here? Do you continue doing these meetings? Do you feel like you're done with your work? I knew that
no.
wasn't the answer.
No,
was no.
No. One step at a time for now.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to add to something Danielle said earlier, if I could, mm-hmm. That when we had the effect on her husband, Danielle opened her home, and she and her husband hosted some friends and families from our school recently, and we had a really lovely evening. And the point of it was to allow people who were interested that had heard from Facebook or the media reports about what we've done and had reached out and said how much they'd like to be able to participate.
Right.
And so she had something at her home specifically for those people, and we had a really nice night. But one of the things that meant so much to me to hear her husband talk about is how originally this was something he didn't want to have to sit around and hold hands and sing more prayers and teach white people what the atrocities are.
Yeah.
And how I
can certainly understand.
Yeah,
that. God,
as do I.
Old.
But what was so powerful to me was him saying how much he got from the
Good.
From the experience, that he felt that, I remember he used this word, that it had even changed his countenance such that he felt other people approach him. And he, in his life since the first meeting, he travels a lot for business, and that there were different opportunities that people came and approached him and reached out, and he almost felt treated differently by people and in a loving way,
right.
I mean, and that it had opened up conversations for him with other people that were similar in nature, mm-hmm. although intimate, or one-on-one rather mm-hmm. than a group is what I mean.
Right.
And that they were able to have conversations where they could learn more about each other and how powerful that's been to him. And I think if that's all that happens through all this, that's fantastic.
Well, but I think that's really important because I have a friend who swears that energy knows energy and that the energy you emit is the energy that comes back to you. So his energy got changed and therefore opened up something that is unseen, so to speak, that allows you to be asked and to respond in a more loving way.
Yeah, and as an African-American man who has been through so much, for him to,
it's a lot to teach
feel
us.
Like friends have reached out, or not just reached out, but he's built friendships with people who care and understand and want to do something but don't necessarily know what to do. And just by sort of being better friends, that's been powerful enough that it's sort of changed his disposition to make him feel more open, that people could come to him and that they could learn and grow and more friendships develop. I think that's powerful.
Just about starting a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, opening the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you have other meetings that you're planning to do?
As of right now, we don't have anything scheduled. Mm-hmm. We're just sort of feeling our way through this. And frankly, we've been a little busy with media because there's been so much interest.
It's a good thing.
And that's fun and exciting. So I think that we want to do more. It's just a matter of when that's right. And mostly, I've been spending a lot of time talking to people that are trying to do this in their communities and mm-hmm. wanting to know what to do. But like I said, it's very simple. There's not much for me to say to them.
Except get cake.
Yeah. Cake, have cake. I know. Have cake. Open up your home.
So it's like, I want to say the Friends of Carrollwood or whatever have been here, but it's a group of three wonderful women, Danielle McClendon, it's Leah Roberts, and Bly Sobel. I can't tell you how awesome this conversation has been this morning.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you sharing your hearts and your accomplishments, because it is an accomplishment. Mm. And just thank you so much for doing this.
Glad to be here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning. Again, if you need to get in touch with us, you can go to Leah Roberts' Facebook page and friend her, or you can try to reach me, or you not try, you can reach me here at mimi.lawson@coxinc.com. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning. Enjoy the rest of your day.